I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 5, please. 2 Kings chapter number 5. If you are one of those that takes notes, I want to encourage you this morning to skip that. Because if you take notes this morning, we've got so much ground to cover that you're going to miss something. Amen. Just stay with us if you can. Let's go through the message together, and you can go back and listen to it later as far as that goes. I'll print it off and give it to you, amen. I sat down at the desk in my shop last night about 6:30, and about 10 o'clock I went down to the house knowing that what I'd asked God for, He had given me, amen. I asked God to give me what my people needed, amen. I believe the Lord will help us this morning. It's birthed out of the two devotions, Thursday and Friday. I've got the reading in this chapter, and the devotions came out of this chapter. And the more I read, the bigger it got. Amen. And then my heart just wanted to share with you what God's put in our heart. Let's stand together in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. We really could read the whole chapter, and we will read most of the chapter before we get through the message. But just for the sake of time, I want to read verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor." Then there's that little three-letter word, "but." He was a leper. But he was a leper. What I'd like to preach on this morning is life lessons to be learned from a leper. There's some lessons in this chapter that I believe that apply in our hearts and apply in our lives. And I desire your prayers. You can be seated. Pray for us and pray with us, please. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of the living God. Thank you for the songs, our Lord, that reflect the truth of the Word of God. Thank you for Brother Caleb and his family, Lord. What a blessing they have been to us. Thank you for the choir, Brother Dale. And Lord, I thank you for those that play our instruments here. Just thank you most of all, Lord, it would all be in vain unless the Holy Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Lord, just come down among us this morning, I pray. Work in hearts and lives, and God will give you glory. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We start in verse number 1 looking at these life lessons that we can learn from a leper. You understand that in the Bible, leprosy is a type of sin. And it was a disease that caused you to be separated from society. You had to go down the other side of the street and cry, "Unclean, unclean." How many can remember a time, spiritually speaking, when you were unclean? One of the things that really amazed me the night that God saved me was how dirty I felt when I knelt and how clean I felt when I stood up after asking Jesus to forgive me and to cleanse me from my sin. We want to go through these things, and I'm not even going to tell you how many because it would scare you to death. Amen. And then there's three or four things under each thing, so you know what I mean, don't you? Amen. So let's just give God our attention and ask Him to help us this morning. In this first verse, Naaman, the captain of the host, the king of Syria, was a great man. And I want to say, first of all, in the message today, that even great men have a problem. You can be a great man and still have a problem. I was reminded when God spoke to my heart about that, that over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, the Word of God said the small and the great are going to stand before God. Your status in this life is not going to matter when it comes to standing before God. And here we see that this problem was a severe problem that Naaman had. It caused separation. And, you know, if you go to the doctor today and you're told you have the flu, that's one thing. If you're told you have a virus, that's one thing. If you're told you have an upper respiratory infection, that's one thing. But if you're told you have cancer, then all of a sudden, my health issue is severe. It's a severe issue. And I tell you, we'd be a lot better off in this world if we realized how severe the sin issue is. Amen. And here Naaman, he has a severe problem. It was a sin problem. Leprosy is a type of sin. But here's what I want to give you. It's a solvable problem. It's a problem that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and died to be able to cure. Amen. And we thank God that the Savior, beloved, of the world, the Bible said he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing to know. Amen. That Jesus took my place on the cross. Even great men have a problem. Number two, God can use even the least among us. That's what we can learn in this chapter here. The Bible said in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Here's a little maid that had been taken prisoner, so to speak, captive out of the land of Israel. And she said to her mistress, she said to Naaman's wife, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. God's using this little maid. We don't know her name. Amen. We don't know how little she was. But the Word of God is telling us here, beloved, listen, that it doesn't matter who you are. God can use you. These children that just went out to the sides, God can use them. And I want to give you this. Last week I was leaving the church on Friday, and there was a ball that came out of the ball field around the track up here at Ketron, and it came out, bounced across the road in front of me, so I pulled the truck over, and I took the ball, and there's all kinds of youngins standing up there, and I don't know who it was, but somebody was hollering, Pastor, Pastor, and I'm looking individual faces trying to recognize who it was. And I kicked the ball back up over the fence to them, and they were all tickled to death to get the ball back. Somebody knew me. But you know what? When God spoke to my heart last night, God can use them little ones. Amen. Amen. God, listen to me. God's not, my friend, interested in some big shot. God's just looking for somebody like this little maid that'll make themselves available, that'll say yes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Let me give you three things quickly right here. What she said, it pointed to a place. You say, what do you mean? In verse number 3, it said, he's in Samaria. That place is in Samaria. You know what we can do? We can say something that points to a place. We don't need to point to Samaria, but we need to point to that mountain called Calvary. Amen. That, listen, what we say can point people to a place, amen, where Jesus took our place on the cross. What she said pointed to a promise. He would recover him of his leprosy. Is that not good? And then what she said because she was a prisoner. Amen. That Paul said 5 times in his writings that he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A bond slave, if you please. One that willingly served God. And so even great men have a problem. God can use even the least among us. And I tell you, it would behoove us not to forget that. For years and years, I preached in the prisons. And for years and years, people asked me this question, do you miss pastoring? And my answer was always the same. There's one thing I know I miss about pastoring, the little ones. Oh, dear God, the little ones running around your feet and your knees, amen, and your waist. And I'm telling you, beloved, these little ones, somebody said, they're the church of tomorrow. No, they're the church today, or there is no church tomorrow. I passed church after church after church after church coming down Carter's Valley, dried up and dead because the little ones didn't have a place in the house of God.
We need the little ones. God can use even the least among us. Hallelujah. Then number three, it just takes one to make a difference. Look at verse number four, if you will, please. We're talking about lessons learned from the life of a leper. And of course, if you were up in Michigan, that it might be, it was Minnesota, I'm sorry. It might be lessons leered from the, you'll get that after a while, amen. If you watch the news, you know, every town needs a leering center to defraud the people. Say amen. Oh, beloved, listen. It just takes one. Look at verse number four. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. God spoke to my heart right here. What do you mean it just takes one? We don't know who this is. But I'll tell you what, it was one that was willing to stand before his master. He went in. Amen? You know something today? God invited you and I to stand before our master. The Bible said that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. This one was not going all in for his own benefit. He was going in, oh hallelujah, and change your prayer life. And beloved, he was going in for the benefit of somebody else. There was a leprous man that needed a touch from God. And then it was one that was willing to pass along the message. Beloved, listen, we need to get before the master, but we don't need to forget we're responsible to pass along the message. The watchman, the Bible said in the book of Ezekiel, beloved, if he sounds the warning and that individual does not listen and does not heed the message, then their blood is on their own head. But if we fail to sound the warning and give the message of Jesus Christ and redemption, their blood will be required at our hands. I don't know about you, beloved, but I thank God for this one that made the difference. And then I'll give you this. He was one that was willing to be used without being marked. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? We don't know his name. Would you serve God if no one ever knew your name? Amen? I'm going to tell you something. The important thing is not that you know my name or I know your name. The important thing is that we know his name. Amen. And here's one, beloved, that served God on behalf of another, but he was willing to be used of God without anyone ever recognizing even who he was. Number one, even great men have a problem. Number two, God can use even the least among us. That's a lesson that we need to learn. Number three, it just takes one to make a difference. You know what I want to do? I want to be that one. Don't you? Wouldn't you like to, before you go to heaven, wouldn't you like to be the one that made a difference in somebody else's life? I want to be that one. Number four, what the leper needed could not be purchased with money and material things. That's a lesson that needs to be learned. You say, in verse number five, the king of Syria said, go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed. And he took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Honey, I don't know about you, but I'd be interested in that wad. Somebody say amen. But guess what? That wad can't cure leprosy. And that money cannot cure sin. Amen. Listen to me. I want you to see several things here. I want you to see the mindset of the man who needed healing. Naaman, beloved, listen. He departed. He took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold. Listen, he's desperate. And so he wants to be prepared for whatever it might take. Amen. That he might be healed. But then I want you to see the mindset of the man of God. Look in verse number 15. And he returned to the man of God. He and all his company came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, this is what Elisha says, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Listen, beloved, this is not about the stuff. It's about the Savior. It's not about the money. Amen. It's not for sale. The healing that God has for the sinner has never been for sale. It was bought with a price. Yes, it was at Calvary's cross. But you and I, beloved, cannot pay that price. We have to trust the one that paid that price. And then we see the mindset in verse number 13 of the men that were with Naaman. And his servants came near, and they spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Beloved, these are some people that are being reasonable. These servants, amen. And I'll give you some more on that later. So what the leper needed could not be purchased with money and material things. I love the song that says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That's where redemption is, beloved. Listen to me. There's a whole religious sect in America and around the world that goes into a little booth and has to pay the priest. And I'm going to tell you something. I thank God I have a priest that don't have to be paid by me. He paid it all for me. And I can go in his presence. Amen. And thank God, no, that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number five, what we need cannot be furnished by an earthly king. Look at verse number 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. So here, beloved, the king of Syria is sending a letter to the king of Israel. And he's saying, I want you to recover him of his leprosy. Watch this. And it came to pass when the king of Israel read the letter that he rent his clothes. That in Israel was a sign, beloved, of humility, a sign of brokenness, a sign of desperation. In other words, this is out of my control. And watch what the Bible said here. He said, am I God? That struck me when I studied last night. Last Sunday's message was, am I in the place of God, or is God in the place of me? And here the word of God, beloved, listen, the king of Israel said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. The king of Israel, he thinks the king of Syria is just stirring in it. And he's trying, beloved, to make up something to fight over. Amen. Let me give you three things right here quickly. What we need cannot be furnished by an earthly king. Number one, the letter exposed the feebleness of the king, the helplessness. The king couldn't help Naaman. Amen. The king could not do for Naaman what needed to be done. I'm going to tell you something that breaks a pastor's heart when he knows what needs to be done. And yet, Brother Vince, we can't do it. Amen. But hallelujah, we know the one who can. And we can go talk to him, amen, on our people's behalf. The letter exposed the feebleness of the king. Secondly, the letter exposed the fearfulness of the king. The king was fearful when he read this letter. Let me tell you something about perfect love. It casteth out fear. Amen. Instead of having confidence, beloved, he's fearful. And then the letter exposed the faithlessness of the king. Let me tell you something. Your faith will be tried. The Bible said the trying of our faith, it's more precious than gold that perishes. Your faith's going to be tried. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'd rather my faith be tried and find out whether it's real or not now as to find out in eternity that what I had wasn't real. Amen. I'm going to tell you, God, listen, in heaven knows that real faith will stand the test. Abraham understood that, didn't he? He was a friend of God. The letter exposed the faithlessness of the king. Number six. Number one, even great men have a problem. Number two, God can use even the least among us. Number three, it just takes one to make a difference. Number four, what the leper needed could not be purchased with money and material things. And number five, what we need cannot be furnished by an earthly king. Number six, what the leper needed can be furnished by the King of Kings. Notice what the Bible said in verse number eight. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Guess what? He's going to end up knowing a whole lot more than there's a prophet in Israel. He's going to end up knowing there's a God in Israel. Amen. Well, notice what the Bible said. So Naaman, in verse number 9, he came with his horses and with his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Let me give you this, three things quickly. What we need can be furnished. What the leper needed can be furnished by the King of Kings. The King of Kings has a man. His name is Elisha. I'm going to stop and say this morning. I think it needs to be said. I'm the pastor and I'm going to say it. A lot of people, listen, I heard it when I was a young preacher. What are we going to do when these old preachers pass off the scene? And I thank God for that old man of God when I got up and preached at Antioch Baptist Church in Bristol. I got up and preached. He got up behind me. He said, "People say, what are we going to do?" He said, "Bless God, open your eyes." And I want to thank God for the young preachers in our church. Open your eyes. God's not going to leave himself without a witness. God's not going to leave himself without a man. Until Jesus comes and takes the church out of here, somebody is going to be faithfully proclaiming this old King James Bible. Hallelujah. I'm not worried about it. God's got a man. The King of Kings has a man. And here, his name was Elisha. The King of Kings has a message. He said, "Go wash in the Jordan." You say, did Elisha just dream that up? No, Elisha was walking with God. Elisha told the leper what God told him to tell the leper. How many believe? That's what a prophet is. We don't have prophets today. We don't have forth tellers. We have foretellers. We just tell what the Word of God's already said. Amen. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. Dangerous thing. The King of Kings has a message, but then the King of Kings has a motive. You say, "Pastor, where did you find that in the text?" Those last words right there said, "And thou shalt be clean." Sister Carol, we're praying. And our motive is that that brother-in-law just be clean. Be forgiven. Be saved. Leprosy gone. That was the motive of the King of Kings. That's why we have church. That's why we have visitation, Brother Jason. That's why we're going to invite people to the Easter sunrise service. Amen. I remember years ago, I was preaching in a church across the river down in Sargoinsville. I had a great Easter message. I thought it was a great Easter message, and I got there. And beloved, God said, "You're not going to preach that." I had to preach on hell on Easter Sunday. Five reasons why I don't want to go to hell and one reason why I'm not. Do you understand what was going on in my bosom on Easter Sunday? And I got up and I told the folks, I said, God don't want me to preach on the resurrection. He wants us to witness one. Somebody's here, dead in trespasses and sin. And God wants to raise you up and make you alive. I preached, gave the invitation, and a family was visiting from Florida. I didn't know that, but God did. God's motive is always that thou shalt be clean. God wants us to be clean. God wants us to be forgiven. God wants us to be saved. What we need, it can be furnished. What this leper needed can be furnished by the King of Kings. Number 7. Y'all understanding now, ain't you? Amen. It ain't even lunchtime yet for the Methodist. Yeah, y'all been around here long enough, Sister Carolyn, to know that lunchtime for the Methodist and lunchtime for the Baptist is two different times. Might be the same clock, but it's two different times. I love these ladies. Amen. They're hard to get along with, but I love them. Number 7, God's method, listen to this, and God's message is often misunderstood. The Bible said in verse number 11, but Naaman was wroth. He's mad. I'll paraphrase it, then I'll go back and read it. He wants the prophet to come out. Don't just send me some messenger out here with a message. I want to see the prophet. I want the prophet's hand to go on me. I want the prophet, you know, he's done got his mind made up how it ought to be. Naaman was wroth. He was very angry, and he went away and he said, behold, I thought, that's our problem. I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And then he said, are not Abana, I guess I'm saying that right, and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away, listen to this, in a rage. In a rage. By the way, that's nothing new. The preacher can preach a message, and there'll be tears in some people's eyes. There'll be praise in some people's hearts. And others listen to the same message and go away in a rage. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. If a preacher's preaching this book, you're not mad at the preacher. You're mad at the God of heaven. The preacher didn't write this book. The God of heaven wrote this book. It's a love letter to you and I. Here, you say, Pastor, what's under this right here? God's method and God's message is often misunderstood. Let me give you 3 things quickly. Number 1, many miss the message because they are in a bitter way. He's bitter. And many miss the message of God's word because they're bitter. And they miss the opportunity to be saved. Listen to me. The Spirit of God deals with a man's heart. And that man's got something in his heart. And he's hanging on to that and he's hanging on to that. Guess what? If we ever get saved by the grace of God, we got to turn loose of that junk. Say amen. Anything, beloved, listen, that's caused us to harden our heart, beloved, listen, it's got to go out the window. Our pride's got to go out the window. We've got to get to that place where it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Many miss the message because they're in a bitter way. Watch this now. This is good stuff right here. Many miss the message because they think there's a better way. That's what Naaman's saying here. He's saying, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? The man of God told him to go down to the Jordan. Oh, listen, I think this is better if I just went back to Damascus and I went over there to those other rivers. They think there's a better way. By the way, this world is full, Brother Michael, of people that believe there's a better way. Well, let me tell you something. Let me narrow it down for you. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If I didn't have another verse of Scripture, I'd stand right there and say Jesus saves or you don't get saved. The Bible said, narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal. Few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. I don't know about you. I've been told in the ministry, Pastor, you're narrow-minded. Well, kind of. Naaman was trying to do this and widen it out. God said, no, you're going to go dip 7 times in the Jordan or you can go home with your leprosy. You're going to listen to the man of God. You're going to listen to the message from God. Many miss the message because they're bitter in a bitter way. Many miss the message because they think there's a better way. And many miss the message because they reject the Bible way. I know of a woman that takes this position. All the religions of the world are right. And it breaks my heart because I love her dearly. And yet, Brother John, she'll say all the religions are right. And she's never picked one. That's sad. If they're all right, I believe I'd flip a coin and pick one. Somebody say amen. Let me tell you something, they're not all right. You say, you can't say that. Oh, yes, I can. God called me to preach the book. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. We have no authority outside of the word of God, but in the word of God we have all the authority of the King of Kings. God's message is often misunderstood. Number 8. Well, I'm glad I numbered these or I'd be in a mess. Number 8. We should make every effort to reason with people. Isaiah 1:18 said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Thank you for asking. Look at verse 13. And his servants, this is Naaman's servants, they came near. And they spake unto him. And they said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. Brother Brian, thank God for people that will reason with others. His servants are saying, listen, you're being unreasonable. You're mad. You're leaving in a rage. Why not just do what the man of God told you to do?
Amen.
I want you to notice several things here. Number one, notice the distance. In verse number 13, the word of God said, and his servants came near. I remember years ago hearing a preacher say, a man said to him, he said, preacher, would you pray that God would give me a burden for souls? And the preacher said to him, he was a pastor, he said, I will, under one condition. He said, what's that? He said, that you go. You're never going to get a burden for souls sitting at the house. But if you get near them, do y'all understand that right there? You get near them. You get near them. I probably shouldn't say this, Tyler, but I've been praying, I've been thinking that maybe one day, maybe soon, me and you could go together. I think it'd be wonderful. Amen. Don't you? And Tyler, when we get there, the message will be the same it was for you and Blaze. There's a God in heaven that saves old sinners like me. saves old sinners like you. We notice the distance they came near in verse number 13. Notice the declaration. There's three things about the declaration I want to give you. Number one, it's personal. Number two, it's practical. And number three, it's powerful. Watch this. It's personal. They said, my Father. This goes back to something that I've been saying for years. I don't know if it's original with me, but nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. When you go in those prisons, those juvenile prisons, Brother Matthew, they're not going to give a rip about how much Matthew knows. But boy, I tell you what, them ears will open, those hearts will open if they understand that Matthew cares. It's personal. It's practical. What do you mean practical? Well, the Bible said if the prophet had bid me to do some great thing, would you not have done it? That their message of reason was practical. They're getting him to think now. They're reasoning with him. I ran into a man years ago. His wife and his two children attended the church where I pastored in Carter's Valley. I went to see that man. And I said to that man, I won't say his name, but I said, sir, you're going to die. I said, all of us are going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. I said, have you ever thought about that? He said, no, I don't think about it. Honey, you need to think about it. You're going to die. Every one of us is going to die. And what we have done with Jesus is going to make the difference in eternity. It was practical. It was powerful when the Bible said, wash and be clean. I've tell people, listen, I remember the battle that went on before I ever left my seat that night. But there's some things that I remember. The burden was so heavy. I went down. It was just like somebody put all the steel in Kingsport on my back. It was crushing me. But when I came up, oh, the songwriter got it right. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. It was all gold. I was so dirty. Oh, the places my eyes had taken me to. The places my mouth had spit out God's name in vain. The things my ears had listened to. My life, Brother Brian, was a garbage dump. Oh, but Jesus and the blood of Jesus, when he pulls into the garbage dump, oh, it smells good. It's clean. The burden's lifted. We notice the distance. We notice the declaration. Notice the deliverance in verse number 14. Then went he down and he dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. He was delivered. How was he delivered? Same way everybody's delivered, by faith. He had to take a man of God's word for it. And in the Old Testament, beloved, the man of God was speaking the word of God when he was a prophet of God. It was God's word. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The deliverance. And then I want you to notice the delivered. Watch what happens in Naaman's life when he looks down and that leprosy's gone. In verse number 15, the Bible said he returned to the man of God. When I read that, Brother Rick, I thought about over there where Jesus healed the 10 lepers. You remember that? And only one returned and gave God the glory. The rest of them went on their way. Naaman returned. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of them that just goes away. I want to return and return and return and return and give God the glory and give God the glory and give God the glory because he's worthy. He returned to the man of God. He and all of his company, and they came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." He returned, he was thankful, and he was truthful. There's no God in all the earth like there is in Israel. This is kind of a negative note. I hate to end messages on a negative note, but it's the way the chapter ends. And I'm just preaching through the chapter. Here's a lesson that we can learn from the life of a leper. Number 9, this is it. This is the final one, and it's only 10 after 12, and somebody surely ought to stand and sing, "It Took a Miracle." 9 points in a message with no less than 3 under each point, and it's only 10 after 12. But I'll remind you, we ain't done yet. Number 9. This is very important. Even for the Christian, men should be very careful what they run after. Verse number 20, let's read it, and then I'll come back real quickly and give you the synopsis. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, see, Gehazi's heard all this. He's heard everything that Naaman has offered to Elisha, and Elisha refused it. Elisha, what he's saying is, my God ain't for sale. His salvation is not for sale. His healing is not for sale. I wish some of the TV evangelists would get that. Verse number 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master hath spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not giving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I'll run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him. And he said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well." Mm-mm. Liar, liar, pants on fire. "My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents." And he urged him, and he bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants. When I studied this out, a talent of the silver weighed about 120 pounds. I don't know about you, but if you offer me 120 pounds of silver after church, I'll take it. If you offer me 240, I'll get Miss Eve to carry the other half of it. Watch this now. He urged him. He took the 2 talents of silver and 2 bags, 2 changes of garment, laid them on 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But when he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." Is this not a sad way to end a wonderful chapter? And he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and receive garments? And olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went from his presence a leper as white as snow. I'll give you several things right here and I'm done. Running after sin. In verse number 22, we find that running after sin will cause men to lie. He lies. He says, "All is well." He said, "My master has sent me." Both of those are a lie from hell. It will not only cause men to lie, but it will cause men to hide. In verse number 24, when he came to the tower, he took from their hand and he bestowed them in his house. When I read that, it reminded me of Achan. You remember when he took the wedge of gold and the Babylonian garment and he buried them in his tent. Let me tell you something that Adam and Eve learned centuries ago. You can't hide from God. You cannot hide your sin from God. And Gehazi thought he could hide it from Elisha. He could hide it from God. Running after sin will cause men to lie. It'll cause men to hide. It'll cause men to deceive. Look at verse 25. But he went in and he stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence camest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. I'm going to tell you something. It's wonderful to live for God. You want to know why? You don't have to lie. You don't have to hide. And you don't have to deceive. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. But then the last thing right here, men should be careful what they run after. God said it'll cause men to reap. In that last verse, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Do you know what he's doing? He is reaping what he has sown. My mind again, Brother Vince, went back to Achan. Brother Vince, they didn't just stone Achan in that valley. I can honestly, in my mind's ear, I can hear those children, Brother Tyler, saying, Daddy, why didn't you take it? Because the man is stoned, his wife is stoned, and his whole family is stoned. Can you not hear Gehazi's children saying, Was it that important? We're all lepers now. Unclean. Unclean. Lessons from the life of a leper. Even great men have a problem. God can use even the least among us. It just takes one to make a difference. I want to be that one. What the leper needed could not be purchased with money. What the leper needed cannot be furnished by an earthly king. What the leper needed can be furnished by the King of Kings. God's method and God's message is often misunderstood. We should make every effort to reason with people. And men should be careful what they run after. I pray God will help us to hide these lessons in our heart. Amen. Father, I thank you today for the privilege to be here with our people at Bible Way. And God, I know that there are those that have not yet come to the knowledge of the Savior. I know there are those, our Father, that are living their life kind of carefree. They're really not burdened for lost people. God, I pray that we'd come near, that we'd listen, that people would know, Lord, that we care. And more than that, Lord, they would know that the only reason we care is because you care. God, I pray that you take our lives and use them for thy honor and for thy glory. Help us in this invitation, our Lord, to be serious with you. If folks are here today, and Lord, I know there are that don't know you, God, I pray that this might be the day they would consider Jesus, the only one that can heal that sin, that can forgive that sin, can cleanse that sin. Help us today, our Lord, as Christians, to do what we can while we can. Truly, Lord, the night's coming when no man can work. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.